The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 1, text number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on August 26th, 2012, in Aheloy, Bulgaria.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dharma Prajita Kaitava Atra Parama Nimatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatraya Unmulanam Srimat Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Va Parai Ishvara Sadya Hridi Avavrujyate Atra Kriti Bi Shushrushubi Tachanat Dharma Projita Kaitavo Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Let's try slowing it down a bit. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Vejam Vastava Matris Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Vejam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaiparayarishvaraha. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaiparayarishvaraha. Sanjva Hridya Varujyate Trakriti Bishru Shushubishtat Shanat. Sanjo Hridya Varujyate Trakriti Bishru Shushubishtat Shanat. Dharma Projita Kaitava Trapalamo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Vejam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaiparayarishvaraha.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaiparayarishvaraha.
Sanjo Hridya Varujyate Trakriti Bishru Shushubishchat Shanat. Dharma, religiosity, prajita, completely rejected. Kaitava, covered by fruitive intention. Atra, herein. Parama, the highest. Nirmatsaranam, of the 100% pure in heart. Satam, devotees. Vejam, understandable. Vastavam. Factual. Atra. Herein. Vastu. Substance. Shivadam. Well-being. Tapatraya. Threefold miseries. Unmulanam. Causing uprooting of. Shrimat. Beautiful. Bhagavate. The Bhagavad Purana. Mahamuni. The great sage Vyasadeva. Krite. Having compiled. Kim. What is. Va. The need. Parai. Others. Ishvara. The Supreme Lord. Sadhya. At once. Hridi. Within the heart. Avarujyate. Become compact. Atra. Herein. Kritibi. By the pious men. Shushrushubi. By culture. Tachanat. Without delay. Translation and prayer board by Srila Prabhupada. This purport is very, it's a very lengthy purport. We don't have time actually to study the whole one in one, a whole purport in one class. It would take several classes to cover the purport. So what we'll do is we'll read part of the purport today. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled with the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God-realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Purport, part of the purport. Religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activity, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation from material bondage. Irreligious life is a barbarous condition. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life, and these are common both to the animals and to the human beings. But religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. In the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature. In other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. People are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. So you can read up to that point.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandritam Shcha.
So this verse is very, very significant verse. The Bhagavatam is distinguishing itself from other Vedic literatures. In other parts of the Vedic literatures, different formulas are given for material progress. For example, there are three different modes of nature. And there are 18 Puranas. There are three times 6 is 18. So there are 6 Puranas in the mode of ignorance, 6 Puranas in the mode of passion, and 6 Puranas in the mode of goodness. Of these 6 Puranas in the mode of goodness, the Bhagavad Purana is one of them, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And its distinguishing quality, it's actually even beyond the mode of goodness, it's in the mode of pure goodness. So the other Puranas, they are on lower levels. Especially the Rajasic and Tamasic Puranas, you see, lower level. But here, this Purana is called Amalam Puranam, the spotless Purana. Because any tinge of material sense gratification is kicked out from the pages of this Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaitava. Materially motivated religion is completely rejected from the Bhagavatam. The current status of religious practice on this planet is it is materially motivated. People go to the church, the synagogue, the temple, or the mosque simply to pray to God for their material necessities of life.
Хората ходят в църквите, джамиите, синагогите и храмовете, за да се молят на Бога за техните материални нужди.
The Christians pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, please give us our daily bread."
Християните се молят: "О Боже, който си на небесата, моля те, дай ни хляба наш насъщен."
So I ask you, is that love of God or is that love of bread?
Какво е това? Ви питам аз: любов към Бога или любов към хляба?
That's love of bread, you see.
Това е любов към хляба.
But such prayer is foolish. When you're a little child growing up in your parents' home, did you have to say, "Mommy and Daddy, can you feed me today?" Did you ever have to ask your parents to feed you? How much facility God has to feed everyone, you see? Even your parents, who had very limited money, very limited availability of food,
дори вашите родители, които са имали оскъдно количество ресурси и пари и храна,
they always made sure you had enough to eat.
Те винаги се грижили вие да имате достатъчно за ядене.
So if even our parents, who have very limited facility, are taking all care for our eating,
дори нашите родители, които имат ограничени възможности да ни хранят,
do we think God, who has unlimited facility to feed even all the elephants every day, think he's not going to feed us? We have to say, dear God, please feed me. This is foolishness, completely foolish thing. But this is standardly accepted. This mentality is the standard mentality of the religious people today on this planet.
Но този менталитет е стандартният за религиозните така наречени хора в днешно време.
Actually, we respect them though, because they are bowing down to God.
Всъщност ние ги уважаваме, защото те наистина се покланят на Бога.
They are 1000 times better than atheists.
Те са хиляди пъти по-добри от атеистите.
So we don't say, oh, your religion is very bad. No, we don't say it is bad. We say, no, it's very good, you're bowing down to God.
Ние не казваме, от вашата религия е лоша, не казваме, тя е много добра, хубаво, че се покланяте.
But here's how you can do it better, that's all. We don't condemn their religious practice.
Но ето как може по-добре да го направите. Ние не осъждаме тяхната религия.
But we say, why don't you pray for something higher, you see?
Ние ще им кажем, защо не се молите за нещо по-више?
If you go to a multi-billionaire and you to ask him for something, he says, okay, you can go to this multi-billionaire and you're allowed to ask him for one thing. What will you ask him for?
Ако отидете пред един мултимилиардер и може да го попитате, да го помолите за нещо, за какво ще го помолите?
Say, well, I can ask him for a dollar or a euro, you know, help him for my bus fare.
Един долар или едно евро.
Is that a very intelligent thing?
Това е интелигентно ли?
Even asked him, request a boon of this multi-billionaire.
Дори да поискате благословие от този мултимилиардер.
And you only ask a dollar to cover your bus for your home.
И вие му поискате един лев за да
спите. This is not very intelligent.
Това не е много интелигентно.
If you're going to a multi-billionaire, at least you should ask for $1 million. At least $1 million.
Ако отидете при един мултимилиардер, поне за $1 million ще.
Or if you're a little aggressive, why not ask? He's a multi-billionaire. Why not ask him for $1 billion? I mean, why not? You know, what's harm? So if you're going to a person who is all powerful, all beautiful, all wealthy, all knowledgeable, all famous and all renounced, why ask him for some little itsy bitsy teeny mini little minuscule thing? Ask him for something big. So what is the biggest thing you can get? That is God himself. Krishna is the supreme big. So the devotee, he knows how he can get Krishna. He knows the science of bhakti, how he can obtain Krishna himself. And what is that secret? You simply have to give yourself to Krishna, that's all. You simply have to give yourself to Krishna. And if you give yourself to Krishna, he gives himself to you. And when you have Krishna as your personal property, when you own Krishna, who owns everything, you become the virtual owner of everything. You virtually own everything in all of existence. Because you own Krishna. So, if we're going to beg something, we should ask for pure bhakti. That's the point. If you want to beg something from God, you should beg for pure devotional service. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has taught us to beg for pure devotional service. We don't pray, "Dear God, please give us our daily chapatis." We pray, Prabhupada has taught us to pray for pure bhakti. We must every day beg Krishna for pure bhakti. And what is that begging? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That covers the first part of this verse. And the next part is this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. So what does that mean? That means according to your or my, according to our degree of purity. To that extent we can understand the Bhagavatam. So what is this purity and impurity thing we're talking about here? For that we can go back to the first sentence. Material motivation, that is impurity. So whatever extent we are still materially motivated by in our thoughts, words and deeds, to that extent we cannot understand the Bhagavatam. And to the extent that we are pure, free of material motives, to that extent we can understand the Bhagavatam. Therefore, in order to gain the full, complete understanding of Bhagavatam, we should strive to become completely pure in heart. And the beauty of this process is that even in our impure state, if we try to understand the Bhagavatam, that attempt to understand the Bhagavatam will in itself purify us. This is why it's very important to regularly study Prabhupada's books. The next sentence is, the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. That has got to be a really wonderful definition of the highest truth. Did anybody ever ask you, what is the highest truth? Here's the answer. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Why is it the welfare for all? Because one who does not know the highest truth, they are suffering. And one who knows the highest truth becomes free from all suffering. Therefore, the highest welfare is to distribute knowledge of the Absolute Truth. That's the highest welfare. Some people criticize the Hare Krishna movement that you're not opening hospitals, you're not doing all these material welfare activities, you're just distributing knowledge. Therefore, your movement is not very good. Because you're not doing material welfare activities. But that is their foolishness, that is their ignorance. This distributing knowledge of Krishna, that is the highest welfare. Because one who revives their Krishna consciousness, they become completely liberated from all suffering for all of eternity. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, how you can say that? I'm suffering so much. I have so much anxiety, so many problems. How you can say that one who takes the Krishna consciousness becomes free from suffering? Is this some kind of hype? What is it? Okay, we admit that we're suffering here. What's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee, you see? We're all suffering from the disease called the repetition of birth and death. We're all suffering for that. Bhava-rog is called in Sanskrit. Bhava-rog. The disease of birth and death. We're all suffering from that disease. So, what is the difference between the devotee and the non-devotee? Devotees are taking the cure. They're taking the cure for the disease. Therefore, they are recovering from the disease. And the others are not taking the medicine. So they're remaining disease, you see. So the fact is, we are getting, by taking this medicine of the holy names and the diet of Krishna Prasadam. We are becoming free of this disease of birth and death. We're getting cured. And a very interesting purport of Prabhupada in describing Prithu Maharaj. See, normally we say, well, we'll become completely liberated, you know, from material consciousness at the time of death. We'll go back to Godhead. That time we'll become completely liberated from all of our suffering, you know. Prabhupada makes a very interesting point in this purport in the Bhagavatam. He says that if one will follow in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj, that he will become liberated even in the present body. And what does that mean, to become liberated even in the present body? That means you're no longer attached to your gross body nor to your subtle mind. You're completely detached from them. You may wonder, well, how could, as long as I have this mind and this body, how could I be detached from them? And Prabhupada gives this example. You know the coconut? You have coconuts here in Bulgaria? No. You've been to India? Yeah. And now when you take the coconut off the tree, the coconut is attached to the shell. And it's connected, you see. But if you let that coconut for some time dry up, you see, the coconut is still inside the shell, but it's loose. It's no longer connected to the shell. You understand? You can shake it and hear it. And it's loose in there. You can hear that it's loose inside that shell. You can shake it. You ever had that experience with a coconut?
Yes.
No?
Yes, I have.
You have, yeah. It's loose inside the shell. It's still in the shell, but it's no longer connected to the shell. So the jiva is the coconut. And the gross and subtle bodies, they are the shell, you see. So in our conditioned state, we're attached. The coconut is attached to the shell. When you shake it, it's connected. It's not separate in there, you see. But in a liberated state, we're no longer attached to the subtle mind and the gross body. In that liberated state does not depend upon leaving the material body at the time of death, you see, and going back to Godhead. You can be liberated even right now in your present mind and body. Simply, we have to cultivate this mood of pure devotional service very seriously. According to the directions of Srila Rupa Goswami, Adashadha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato naradadna vittishat tato nishtadu jistitaha anasaktis tato bhavas tato prema bhijantati sadhakanam na yang prema sadhur pradur. Let's see. What is that last line? I forget the very last line. But the English is, the first step is to have faith in this process of Krishna consciousness. The second step, associate with devotees. Third step, get initiated. And then after you're initiated, then you work very seriously to free yourself of all the anarthas. That's called anartha nirvritti. And when you finally bring all these anarthas under control, you see, then you achieve the next stage, nishta. In the nishta stage, the modes, you're no longer influenced by passion and ignorance. Nishta stage. And then, after nishta, oh, it becomes very, very sweet. Oh, very, very sweet. It's called ruchi stage. You can chant, you can go on with kirtan 24 hours and never get bored. It's so sweet. Oh, Krishna's name. It's so sweet. Ruchi stage. And then you go to the asakti stage. You become completely, totally attached to Krishna and nothing else, completely detached from all forms of the material nature. And that turns into bhava, which turns into full development of love of God, prema. So, we can go all the way to prema. That's the process given by Srila Prabhupada. If we follow it strictly, purely and sincerely, it will bring us all the way to prema. That's a fact. We can achieve the prema stage, where you can see Krishna at every minute, where you're constantly associating intimately with Krishna at every minute. So, to become fully pure in heart is really worth it. And now, the next sentence is, such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This is a wonderful simile, especially for farmers. Don't you have to uproot the weeds? You have to pull the weeds out by the roots. If you just cut at the top, the weed will come back. But if you pull it out by the root, no more weed. The weed finished. So, the jiva has wrapped up in three different types of weeds. The adiatmic weed, adibhautik, adidaivik weed. These are the three kinds of weeds that are choking the jiva now. You see, he's being choked. the creeper of the jiva is being choked by these three weeds, ariyatmik, these three types of weeds, ariyatmik, aribhautik, and aridaivik weeds.
Jivata, нейното растение, е задушавано от тези три вида плевели, страдания, тристранните страдания.
But this beautiful Bhagavatam, you see, it uproots, it pulls out all these miseries. You can have thousands of ariyatmik miseries. Thousands of aribhautik miseries. Thousands of aridaivik miseries. Completely choking you to death. But the Bhagavatam, it comes in and pulls out all the weeds. It uproots all these miseries, you see. In the next sentence, this beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What need is there for any other scripture? In other words, first of all, isn't it nice, the beautiful Bhagavatam? When we say Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad means beautiful. Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful Bhagavatam, is it? Compiled with the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity. It's all you need. Stated, it's all you need. We don't need to go running here, running there, this Purana, this Upanishad. If we simply take the Bhagavatam as our life and soul, that's all we need. Papa, it states clearly here by Vyasadeva, this is all we need. Why? That's answered in the last sentence. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart.
Ако човек слуша посланието на Бхагаватам внимателно и смирено, придобитото знание веднага ще установи сърцето му върховния Бог.
So someone may say, well, come on, I mean, Krishna's already in my heart. What's this talking about? Krishna's already in my heart. What do you mean established in my heart? I don't need to hear the Bhagavatam. Krishna's already established in my heart. So what is the meaning of this sentence? But it means you establish your connection. That it means that you now can firmly establish your connection with the Lord within the heart. That's the inner meaning of this statement. He becomes established, you become conscious of his being established in your heart. In other words, if you will submissively and attentively hear this Bhagavatam, you become fully connected with Krishna within your heart. In this connection, I have a wonderful instruction that Prabhupada personally gave me. In one letter he wrote me around 1972. When I was in Dallas, Texas. He said, if you will engage yourself 24 hours in Krishna's service with full sincerity, then Krishna will come and personally answer all of your questions. So this is the same principle as being stated here. you will establish an open communication between you and Krishna. By attentively and submissively hearing this message. So now do you understand why Prabhupada said we should study Bhagavatam every day? Because this brings us into a personal connection with Krishna who is within our hearts. Each one of us, you see. Krishna is seated right there in your heart now, Prabhu. So by this Bhagavatam, see right now you can't perceive Krishna, you cannot communicate with Krishna because of the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion and envy. But this Bhagavatam, by hearing it, taking it in the ear holes, you see, paying attention, taking submissively, like soaking in like a sponge soaks in the water, you see. If you'll soak this message through your ears into your heart, into your consciousness as deeply as you can, then you will find Krishna sitting there. You will meet Krishna within your own heart. You'll meet him. The person Krishna is there waiting to meet you and bless you. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
We have understood, we have heard in the lecture what is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Mm. But how can we distinguish between an innocent person and a demon? Because like we heard also in Kali Yuga, many demons are in the mask of religious persons. Mm-hmm. So how can...
Yes. An innocent person, if you try to tell him about Krishna, he will hear you. He'll be interested to hear. Oh, really? You see. He's open-minded, you see. If someone says, oh, Krishna, oh, that's the devil, you know. Get away from me, you see. If somebody is innocent, then they will be interested to hear. Just like you can go on the streets and approach people with the books, you see. An innocent person will say, oh, you have something? Let's see what it is. He's open-minded. He doesn't have any prejudice. Oh, get away from me. This is something religious. Get away from me. That's the demoniac, you see. You understand the difference? Yeah. Oh, if he's open, he's innocent. If he's closed, then he's a demon.
Колко дълго може да продължи анартаниврити?
How long anartaniviti may take?
How long anartaniviti will take? Well, it can take 1 minute, or it can take one lifetime, or it can take 100 lifetimes. That's up to each and every one of us. How sincere we are to become a pure devotee, you see. It's up to each one of us how strong our desire is to get free from all these anartas. In other words, are you attached to your anartas? Or do you want to give them up? You see? Each one of us has to face that question. What are my anartas? How attached am I to them? Am I willing to give them up? You see? We all have to look in our hearts and see. Because the fact is that somebody is very, very keen on pure bhakti, they can quickly burn off those anartas. Or it can take a long, long time. One is attached to them. If somebody enjoys looking at pretty young girls, oh, their breasts look so nice. I love those nipples. I like to see those nipples on the girls, those nice big nipples. It's so nice to see their nipples, you see. You see? If one wants to continue enjoying the breasts of young girls walking down the street, it's going to take him a long time to get to the Anartanaviti stage. Long time. But if one thinks, I don't want to be attracted by these two nipples on the upper torsos of these females. I want to be attached with. I don't want to be attracted by those nipples anymore. I want to be attracted by the lotus feet of Krishna instead. You see. Intelligently analyzes what is the result of being attracted to those breasts of women. What's the result of being attracted by the breasts of women? And what is the result of being attracted by the lotus feet of Krishna? Right now we are biologically wired to be attracted to the breasts of women. Let's face it. Men, at least most men, are biologically wired to be attracted to the breasts of women. But what does that attraction do? It forces us to take birth again as a woman in the next life. So one should intelligently analyze what is the result of enjoying those young girls' breasts as opposed to learning to appreciate the wonderful beauty of Krishna. What is the difference, you see? One should intelligently analyze what is the difference and then focus. You have the ability to focus your mind on this thing or that thing. Instead of thinking, oh, those delicious breasts, you should think those delicious lotus feet. That I no longer do I want to relish the breasts of young girls. Now I want to relish instead the lotus feet of Krishna. Because that will liberate me from this material existence. So it's really up to the individual, you know, be willing to give up his attraction to the breasts of women. He can quickly go through an Anartanaviti and come to the Nishta stage. Or if he still wants to keep enjoying those breasts of the young girls, it's going to take him a long time. Next question. Yeah.
Аз имам няколко въпроса. Процес, който ще оправя от нас. Много бързо ще постигнем премата. Това е постижимо за нас, но виждаме, че в началния етап е много трудно човек стриктно да следва процеса. Постепенно ли става това или е добре човек да отдава плода от труда си, защото за Кришна се знае. Виждаме, човек работи и дава плода, не може да следва толкова стриктно сада на бхакти, както не права път на става.
He has several questions. Mm. First
one at a time.
Yes. He just asked one question. Okay. You said that by following strictly the process of Srila Prabhupada, we can easily attain Krishna Prema.
Yeah.
But we practically we can see that it's very difficult in the beginning for the neophytes to strictly follow the process. So is it better that one offers the fruits of his work in the beginning and then it will come gradually, the ability to strictly follow?
It's not necessarily difficult to begin to strictly practice it in the beginning. Not necessarily difficult. I mean, I know somebody who was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. And he gave it up within 1 minute. So it's not, it really depends on one's determination. If one doesn't have that sufficient determination, yeah, then they can offer the fruit of their work to Krishna. And gradually develop the determination. But if one is determined, he can immediately take it up and without difficulty. Simply a matter of how determined are you to become Krishna's pure devotee. That's all.
Всичко зависи от това колко решителен си ти, за да станеш чист прямо даден на Кришна.
Next question.
Други въпроси.
Как да развием тази решителност? Как се култивира?
How to develop, how to cultivate this determination?
Dridha vratta. Determination. How to cultivate it? Well, I would suggest, Itai Chandradas, that you take the example of your Siksha Guru, the little sparrow. You know your Siksha Guru, the little sparrow?
Yeah.
You know the little sparrow?
Yeah.
Everyone knows the little sparrow. She is our Mataji. She is our Siksha Guru, our Mataji. She has so nicely taught us by her example how to become determined. In other words, she was facing impossible odds to dry up the ocean. But she didn't care. Impossible or possible, those words did not exist in her vocabulary. So the best way to develop determination is you have to strive for that which may seem to be impossible. Understanding full well that by the grace of Krishna, everything is possible. So in this way one can become very determined. It's like sometimes it is said it's impossible for the whole world to become Krishna conscious. But it's also predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj the whole world will become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he said, become Guru and deliver the whole world. So one may think, well, how can I have the determination to deliver the whole world when it may be impossible to deliver the whole world? But possible or impossible, these are not the words in the devotee's dictionary, you see. Just like that Brahmin in South India, Prabhupada gives a very nice example, the Brahmana. I many times told the story. The Brahmana, he was ordered by, he was illiterate, he could not read. But his spiritual master ordered him, every day you must read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So even though he could not read, he was sitting there trying to read. Everyone was making fun. Aha, just see that foolish Brahmana. He thinks he's reading Bhagavad Gita. What a fool he is, you see. So everyone is making fun of him, you see. All he was doing was trying to serve his spiritual master's order. That's all he was trying to do, but everybody made fun of him. But then one devotee entered the temple. His name was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was Krishna playing the role of a devotee. And he heard all this, you know, Mandir Gramya Katha going around, you see. Temple gossip about the illiterate Brahmin. Lord Chaitanya thought, let me check out this illiterate Brahmin. So Lord Chaitanya approached him. This Brahmin could see, just imagine you're sitting there trying to study the Gita and this beautiful effulgent Lord Chaitanya approaches you. Wow! Would that be something? You're sitting there reading and Lord Chaitanya walks up to you. Oh, beautiful golden, just golden effulgence. The personality walks up to you. Wow! So this Brahman, he can say, oh, this person is not coming to criticize me. He can see this person is magnanimous. He's not going to find fault with me. So, Lord Chaitanya, he said, Brahman, I heard you're reading Bhagavad Gita. But you're illiterate. So how is it, Brahmana, that you can be reading Bhagavad Gita when you are illiterate? The Brahmana said, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me that every day I must read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So I'm simply holding this manuscript in my hand and I'm looking through the pages, that's all. And they didn't have the BBT then. They didn't have even printed books then. It must have been some scroll or something, you know, handwritten, hand done by some brahmanas, hand copied the Bhagavad Gita. But he said, I'm seeing here they made one painting of Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya said, but Brahman, I see you're not, I see that not only you're trying to read Bhagavad Gita, but you're crying, Brahmana. How is it you're crying? He said, yes, when I take this Bhagavad Gita, I see how Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot, and I'm thinking, how magnanimous is my beloved Lord Krishna. That he is personally acting as a chariot driver as he, of his beloved devotee Arjuna. In this way, when I think about this, the great kindness of Krishna, I cry. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, you are the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So was it possible for him to read the Bhagavad Gita? No. But was he the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita? Yes. You see. So even if something is impossible, still you must endeavor. And then by Krishna's grace, the impossible becomes possible. So in this way, you have to develop your determination. Like the little sparrow, and like the illiterate Brahmana. In this way, you will get all mercy from Krishna. I hope you be successful in your awakening of pure bhakti within your heart, and in the awakening of pure bhakti within those that you preach to. Any other question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it possible for a person who is on the level of anatta nivritti to have some feelings?
Oh yeah.
For Krishna.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Even the one on the level of Shraddha can have some devotional feeling.
Дори на нивото на Шрада човек може да има чувство на преданост.
He doesn't feel anything. Why does he associate with devotees? He feels something in that association. He doesn't feel anything. Why he gets initiated? He feels something. Therefore he wants to become initiated. So feelings are there from the very beginning. Shraddha means there are some feelings. This is not impersonalism. Impersonalism says feelings are false. Deny them things. In fact, Prabhupada, regarding feelings, Prabhupada told us this in San Francisco. He said, I'm traveling all over the world and I'm seeing that everyone is building the skyscraper buildings imitating your country. He said, therefore, if you Americans will sing and dance in the ecstasy of emotional love of God, the whole world will follow you and there will be no more troubles. So, bhakti is the path of emotions. Emotional love of God. Love of God means emotions. So, but we have emotions now, but they are covered by lust, anger, and greed. But we purify them by the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. We purify our feelings, which now are contaminated with lust, anger, and greed. And gradually, gradually, slowly, slowly, we bring them to the platform of Shuddha Bhakti. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Nego mi je samo kršano prvo u kiji.